You may be seated. I like the pulpit in the center. It's nice. I can see everyone equally. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the first chapter of Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the holy day through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share of this ministry." So one of the people who have accompanied us all during that time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, believing from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from Judas, turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Happy Mother's Day. Today we gather to honor and celebrate the influence of mothers and mothering figures in our lives. As we come together, we think about this day as more than just Hallmark cards and brunch or breakfast in bed or even beautiful flower bouquets. It was a day that was rooted originally in social justice. It was started by an activist in Washington State in the 19th century named Julia Ward Howe after the Civil War, after seeing all of the grief of mothers in the North and the South who'd lost their children to war, as a call for peace and an end to war. Mother's Day has evolved into a day that recognizes the myriad ways that mothers and mothering figures impact our lives, from the nurturing care they provide to sometimes the stern wisdom allotted, from the sacrifices made to the love they share. We acknowledge today and give thanks for the profound influence of mothering figures, mothers shaping who we are and the world we inhabit. Additionally, it's also a day to remember and recognize and try and correct the ways the church has sidelined mothers over these past two millennia. Today, the scripture passage, which is actually assigned, happens to be from the lectionary for this Mother's Day, is about the first transfer of power in church history. It is the story, as always told, of the church fathers, the apostles, finding a replacement for the first vacancy in leadership. Where are the church mothers in this story? How can we find a different way of reading this text that goes beyond the surface of church power passing from men to men, very patriarchal and actually ahistorical, and find the truth of the church mothers whose voices are so often intentionally left out of the story? This reading from Acts is fascinating. Matthias, everyone's favorite 13th disciple. Fascinating. You know the most fascinating thing about the 13th disciple, the alternate who replaced Judas after Jesus' ascension? Do you remember the most important and interesting thing about this amazing person who was voted in by these 120 surviving Christians, who was trusted with the burden of leadership, who replaced the famous Judas along the likes of Peter and Philip and John to become one of the 12. Don't you all remember the most fascinating thing about Matthias? Anyone? The most fascinating and important thing about this first leader in this historic transfer of church power, this Matthias, is that we know nothing about Matthias. Matthias represents by church historians the power of the patriarchy and the passing of power from the 12 men to another man. That's the problem with Matthias. He represents and replaces all of the church mothers who truly, in historical accounts, were the ones to continue the church in that period. Matthias is the unsung apostle, overlooked and ignored, and is one we can find that he still has all the power thrust upon him and responsibility. But there's a reason that there's no history attached to this Matthias. The most interesting thing about Matthias is that he is ignored by scholars and biblical historians and even the very verbose history of church tradition. This first power transfer in church history overlooks and ignores Matthias, and this is unusual and significant. Matthias is an overlooked figure. You probably never heard of him. Yet this story, though brief, carries profound significance, especially for those whose stories are forgotten and overlooked by the church. I find significance in this first story of a person called to ministry after Jesus' ascension being someone who is forgotten. We have a long tradition of overlooking the leadership, contributions, and place for some in church history and society, and we do it simply by not telling their stories or putting their pictures on the wall. Have any of you been in the parlor and noticed something really remarkable? What does everyone look like before Vanessa for these last 400 years? Pretty much the same. But you know, behind all of those men on the wall were countless mothers and women who made this church what it is today. But it is cancellation by omission, the Matthias process of church history. The disciples, feeling the weight of Judas's vacancy among the 12, decide to fill the void through prayer and the casting of lots. The casting of lots, by the way, is not democratic voting. It is basically something you'd see at Mohegan Sun. It's basically dice. And so Matthias, a faithful follower, is chosen to take Judas's place. This Matthias is called a witness. This word witness, which is martus in Greek, same root as martyr. The Matthias story, though, is shrouded in mystery, a voice lost to the vast biblical narrative. Yet in his obscurity, Matthias represents countless individuals and storylines that have been sidelined and overlooked and forgotten, often intentionally, through church history and through the pictures we put on the wall. Think of all those stories that remain untold, the marginalized or the oppressed or the simply silenced voices, the church mothers whose names are omitted from the pages of history, or the people of color whose stories are erased and diminished, LGBTQ plus individuals whose identities have been condemned or ignored, and the list goes on. Matthias's journey parallels the experience of the forgotten. Like Matthias, they are passed over, their significance downplayed or dismissed. But Matthias was chosen to fill a critical role in the early church. Matthias reminds us of those who built these institutions who are overlooked, the church mothers, the women who built and are building and are the backbone of the church, and especially the mainline church today, who are the force behind the good of these institutions. It is time for us as a church to reckon with some of this and to center the voices and the stories of the church mothers, as well as the church fathers. It's time to amplify their voices and to honor their stories. In doing this, we cannot tell the same stories the way we always have. We must rethink them and go deeper, like with the scripture passage today, that we take at such face value of the 12 disciples losing one and replacing it with another man. There's a wonderful class I took back in seminary about the hidden histories of women in the early church, one of those classes that sticks with you. And I remember the professor, through going through the texts and the ancient sources, saying, in the very early church, women were probably much more prominent than men, or at least equal. And it was only in the later writing and interpretation and redaction that they were written out of the story. As we reflect on this strange and enigmatic figure of Matthias, we recognize, too, uplifting those who've been overlooked intentionally by the church from the very start of the politics of power and the patriarchy. May we strive to create a community where every voice is heard and every story is valued, especially the mothers. Matthias represents those who are the backbone of the church but remain untalked about. The church mothers who remain unrecognized and stories untold. If you've ever felt invisible, then maybe Matthias is your martyr and your saint. Isn't it telling? Isn't it just a little too true? Isn't it so too obvious, the truth under this superficial biblical interpretation? My thesis for this Mother's Day, the story of the church's leadership starts with 12 men who are all known, named, and celebrated. Great detail of the first 12 disciples, where they were from, what their professions were. And then all of a sudden, the 13th, invisible, uncelebrated, barely named. Is that coincidental, or is that because Matthias is a placeholder name that just represents the passing of power to more men from the 12, when really Matthias was all of the church mothers? Matthias is the rest of us, the forgotten stories, the untold truths, the ignored and the overlooked backbone, the work, the raison d'être of the church. At Yale, I'm working in alumni relations. I work with our alums across the country, and I can tell you, because I deal with the fundraising side folks, that when we're talking to the ministers of the biggest and tallest steeple churches, the wealthiest graduates of Yale Divinity School, especially at the 50-year class that only had still a small, small group of women, most of these people with the power or the trustees of the endowments and the pensions are still men. But mostly, who's the majority of the students studying now at Yale to become ministers? Are women. While men and the church fathers still hold most of the international institutions' money, property, positions of authority, and tall steeple pastorates, even in the UCC, I learned very quickly in my first call in Colorado that it was the church mothers who really ran the church, populated most of the committees, did the pastoral care and outreach, chaired most of the projects, ran the budget, and were the true reason that Plymouth Congregational Church in Fort Collins was succeeding. This is also true in Guilford. Other than the senior minister, everyone else I worked with directly was a church mother. I received word last week that one of these church mothers of Plymouth passed away, and her name was Joyce Devaney. And she was one of the members who seemed to do everything, both in the church and the wider community. If you needed food for a family in crisis, call Joyce. You need to raise money for the Homelessness Prevention Initiative, call Joyce. You need more people for the Habitat Build, probably call Joyce. Our scripture today, the disciples are looking for a witness of love, of Jesus saying, so one of the people who've accompanied us in witness in that time the Lord Jesus walked among us, beginning with the time of John the Baptist until when he was taken up, one of these must become a witness with us, a witness to Jesus' resurrection. Who are the witnesses in your life to the love of Jesus and his resurrection, his life, his body of Christ, the church, and the love of God in your life? Who witnesses to you? According to the Pew survey, you all know about the Pew survey, they survey religion and put data out there. Statistically, the witnesses to the realm of Jesus for you are most likely actually church mothers. Beyond the ministers who occupy the pulpits, the people who often have made the biggest difference in this institution, especially in the past 50 years, the reason the church survives and the work is done are the mothers. Amen. You know, First Church, pastors move on, but you stay with us. Your stories bless us. I remember every story every member shared with me. And Joyce was a powerful person in my life at Plymouth and Fort Collins. She led the social justice causes, and many of them survived because of her. And she did it without any title or position, attention, or legacy in it. Today on this Mother's Day and on this Sunday when the lectionary kindly brought us for Mother's Day one of the most patriarchal passages in the Bible. Yay. When the lectionary brings us the story of the forgotten 13th disciple, Matthias, or whatever their name really was. Probably not Matthias. Today we are called to be witnesses to the work of the church mothers, the forgotten, the overlooked, the written over, and to claim and name and shout their legacy of love. We are to witness today the love of mothers and mother-like figures in our lives, and especially in the life of the church. Friends, while that wall might have all faces of men, since the beginning of Fairfield, it has been the church mothers and fathers who deserve that centering. Can I get a witness? This is a phrase used by the church historically and often in evangelical settings that asks for call or testimony from the hearts of the congregation, not just from the pulpit. This sentence, can I get a witness, is a request from the pulpit to the congregation that recognizes that power and the source of authority is not just from the pulpit, it's from all of you and the stories resonating in your hearts this morning. Can I get a witness? So right now for a moment, take a second and think of the witnesses in your lives. Who is a mothering figure in your faith life? A grandparent, a parent, a confirmation teacher, a minister. We are the witnesses and the ones who need to make sure that the church mothers of yesteryear and tomorrow don't have to operate in the shadows and get the gratitude owed to them. The book of Acts is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And in it, we have this moment when they're trying to describe the way the church is going to work. We imagine some of the questions. How will we do it? Was this just a moment with a charismatic leader, or is this something enduring and new? How do we organize ourselves for health? And the classic church question probably, how many committees do we really need? A lot. And then there's this odd passage of passing the power to Matthias. This is the starting point for the church, this story. And we need to go deeper with it and not just take it at face value and look at it as a more complex reading if we're going to do the work of mothering the church today. We need to witness to the church mothers much, if not more, than the church fathers. Matthias is a placeholder. It's just a name in the story, theologically speaking. For everyone, all the Matthii, who built the church, who formed our faiths, but have been overlooked and ignored. This story is for all the Matthiases and Matthii. Can I get a witness? Amen.